you know, women have so many responsibilities. I have a PhD, and I would rather go through that process again than to go through having twins again. I thought, man, like, I can't be the only woman who is going through this. And so it really was about just thinking about work and how and why we work the way that we do, and seeing that it doesn't make sense and how can we change it so that it fits us now in the lives that we live. Really, you know, women have so many responsibilities. I have a PhD, and I would rather go through that process again than to go through having twins again. I thought, man, like, I can't be the only woman who is going through this. And so it really was about just thinking how and why we work the way that we do, and seeing that it doesn't make sense and how can we change it so that it fits us now in the lives that we live.
Welcome to the Business Ethics Podcast. I am Blake Peterson, and joining me today is Gina Huang with JobShare Connect here in Omaha. And Gina did not want me to call her doctor, but she is a PhD, and I really feel like that's important to put out because what an incredible accomplishment. What did you get your education in?
So my background is in organizational psychology. Mm-hmm. And so in layman's terms, it's not clinical. So, you know, I'm not trying to figure out what happened to you in your childhood and in your past, but it can easily be explained, by like business psychology. So helping businesses to be more effective and, more efficient, and helping their people and helping companies grow.
Joining me, it's super interesting to hear more about what you do and how the future of work is going to be affected by people like you in your industry. Maybe right now, JobShare Connect is somewhat of a disruptor, you could say, but it can also be an incredible solution for people. So before we get into everything that JobShare Connect does, can we maybe give our listeners a little background about you? How did you end up co-founding JobShare Connect, and now as CEO of the space? What brought you to this point?
Well, it was really about solving a problem that I had personally. So I went through a lot of schooling and was really focused on my career for the large part of my 30s. And I knew that I wanted a family, but my career was really important to me as well. And so waited for a while, and when I was finally ready to have kids, ended up having twins. And, you know, I thought that I would have them and I would take a little bit of time off and then come right back to work and everything would be the same.
Yeah.
And that's just naive and ridiculous, because when you have kids, it changes your entire life. Mm-hmm. And so when I had them, and they were born premature, and they were in the NICU for about 2 months.
Oh my gosh.
And so when I brought them home, I just couldn't imagine going back to work in a full-time capacity. You know, they weren't sleeping. They had different schedules. And so while they were sleeping, I wasn't. I mean, I literally didn't sleep for 8 months.
Yeah.
And while my previous employer and boss were really accommodating and understanding, you know, they said, come back when you can. You can work from home. You can do some project work. And even that, I tried to go in for a few hours a week to begin with, and it was just really difficult. One, leaving them at home, and then also I breastfed for a year, and so, you know, having to pump and to having to try to do all those things was just really difficult. Mm-hmm. And my husband at the time was traveling a lot, and I'm not originally from Omaha, and so I didn't have the support of family to, you know, to help me through that. And so it was really difficult, and I couldn't see myself being able to go back to work in a full-time capacity.
Right. And a lot of really great points you bring up, I think a lot of people have to deal with as well, not just yourself, right? And it's primarily a lot of females, obviously, are right. mostly affected by this. And I can only imagine having to do all of the breastfeeding, everything for two kids, because my wife just doing it for one baby right now, it is an incredible job and something that luckily men have no idea what it takes. So my hat goes off to you for doing that for a year and making it through that. I'm so happy that your kids are obviously healthy, 6 years old, almost seven.
Yeah.
Now two girls. So that's awesome. That's great to hear. I'm glad you're able to spend time with them.
Yeah.
So,
and just to, you know, it really, you know, women have so many responsibilities and have, you know, obviously have to do the breastfeeding and carrying the baby. But it was the hardest thing I've ever done. You know, I have a PhD and I would rather go through that process again than to go through having twins again and the late nights and, I mean, all of it. So, yeah, it's the most difficult thing and the most challenging thing, but, you know, also one of the most rewarding.
Yeah, absolutely. Trade everything else away for those two little girls, I'm sure, just like I would do and any other parent. So that's awesome. Well, you saw a problem and you decided to go solve it for yourself, obviously.
Right. And I thought, man, like, I can't be the only woman who is going through this. No. And so, right. And I have friends and, you know, they all talked about it. But really, if you don't have children at home and you haven't gone through it, you don't know how difficult it is.
Yeah.
Right. Like, I thought it was going to be a piece of cake and I could go back. Right. And I didn't know why all these women, you know, before were complaining about, right. you know, not being able to do it all. But yeah, when you're going through it, it's a lot more difficult than you can ever imagine. Mm-hmm. And so as I was going through this, you know, I love them so much and I'm so grateful that I had that time to be with them. But it's hard. And as a woman and as a professional, you know, I experienced professional, and personal identity loss. Mm. And I, you know, as much as I wanted to go back, I just didn't know how, and I knew that other women were in the same boat. And so, yeah, that's really how it started. And my co-founder, Jessica Charlson, she also has three kids and was going through the same thing. And we both have a passion for women in leadership. We were actually met in the Women's Fund circles. They're just right out here.
Yeah, that's cool.
Shout out to them. Yeah. But we met there and we were on a steering committee together. And, you know, we got back together and said, you know, what can we do? Like, why are we still having these issues?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, these are not new issues.
No.
Our moms had this, our grandmothers, our great grandmothers. And so why is it that we still can't get it right?
Right.
So we set out to figure out, you know, how we could work differently and really just looking at the work model that we are currently in and have been in for over 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
And it really just doesn't make sense. And so we started to do some research and found that job sharing was often listed, but really, people really don't know much about it. And even me, with my background, I didn't really know much about it. Mm. And, you know, I would joke that I don't know if in college I missed this, if I was, like, hungover.
Right.
I missed this in class, but I didn't, you know, it's not taught.
Yeah.
We're taught best practices and the way that things have always been done. And so it really was about just thinking about work and how and why we work the way that we do, and seeing that it doesn't make sense and how can we change it so that it fits us now in the lives that we live.
Yeah. Well, that's incredible. And you're so right in how much this has affected so many women and generations of women for such a long time. I'm sure there's a lot of people from men are affected by it as well. No doubt Absolutely. About that, but primarily women. And the opportunity that this brings to the company is what is really intriguing to me. And so for background now, where we are in this moment in the country, obviously. So we got through COVID. There's a lot more remote jobs happening nowadays. People are working from their homes. We are at a point in the economy where it seems the Fed is trying to push us into a recession. That's certainly what it feels like. They want to see unemployment numbers come up. If that does happen, it's because it's more expensive for these businesses to employ people. It's a higher cost. They can't afford to do it and stay profitable, so they're able to do it. Well, job sharing might be a way for these companies to be able to bring down sometimes cost of employment, open up employment opportunities that weren't available in the first place, and so potentially be able to still grow, but do it in a more, you know, cost-efficient way. Am I correct in assuming those things?
Absolutely. You know, with all the changes that we've seen, one of the things that people have really embraced is, you know, their time and wanting to find some purpose and meaning in their work. And, you know, I think before COVID, I know that as a consultant, I worked with a ton of companies, and even the companies that I worked with, that I worked at, said that, you know, there's no way that we could do remote. Everyone has to be in the office. And when COVID hit, you know, the next day, the next week, everyone was working from home. Yeah. And a lot of those companies have continued to allow employees to work from home and found that employees are happier and more productive. And, you know, the reason why that happened, though, is because it was forced.
Right.
Right. If COVID didn't happen, we wouldn't be in the same place where we are now.
No.
So as much as it makes sense now and we can't even think about going back to the way that it was, it just wouldn't have happened if the circumstances with COVID weren't the way that they were.
Right.
You know, having said that, now people can live anywhere. They don't have to live in the city. And, you know, the cost of housing is a lot more affordable. Maybe they can move closer to family and have that support, or just, you know, live in a cabin, you know, as long as they have an internet connection.
Yeah, right.
But, you know, if people are happier, then they're going to be more engaged, mm-hmm. and then they're going to be more loyal to the companies. And so, you know, and we've heard of all of the turnover of people leaving companies, and, you know, it's been chaos, mm-hmm. and things have just been changing at such a fast pace. It's been really hard to keep up. But yeah, companies really need to start thinking about different ways that they can support their employees and to make them stay.
Right.
And one of those ways is through job share, because, you know, for a lot of reasons, obviously I'm biased, but really job sharing is a no-brainer. It's a win-win for both the employer and the employee. So for employers, you know, when we first started Job Share Connect, we put out a survey in Omaha and found that about 68% of employers said that they just couldn't find the right talent. Mm. And the thing is, though, is that there are so many talented people in Omaha who are not in the workforce because it doesn't fit with the typical 9 to 5 or 8 to 5 work schedule.
Right.
And so if companies can start thinking about, you know, now we've changed where we work. Mm-hmm. And now thinking about how people are working and how you can work differently, and how that might look in the future, it really opens up a lot of opportunities. Mm-hmm. You know, with JobShare, it provides, one, it taps into a talent pool that traditionally has not been tapped into. Mm-hmm. You think about part-time work, and oftentimes companies find that the talent in, or lack of talent in, part-time job pools, you know, has been lacking. Mm-hmm. And so by opening up JobShare, and for people who don't know what JobShare is, it's basically two people sharing the roles and responsibilities as well as the salary of one full-time position. Mm. So for me, you know, I was in a professional position, and when I went to look at jobs, there are no director, VP of talent management positions out there that are part-time.
Right.
Right. You might have a fractional one. Sure. That's also a new model that's become more popular. But if I could share that with someone else, I would be a lot happier because I'd be able to still utilize my skills and experience. Mm-hmm. And then I'd be able to work with someone and learn from them. You know, if, say, I wanted to, or I applied for a VP of HR position, you know, I have the talent management background, but I don't have like the hardcore HR. Mm-hmm. And so if I did a job share, right, someone with that HR experience and I could come together, and, you know, we used to say that instead of looking for a unicorn, we build them through job sharing. Oh. Because, you know, if you look at job descriptions that companies put out, they're really oftentimes unrealistic.
Yeah.
It's like you want everything.
Right.
And that's just not the way it happens. And especially, mm-hmm, as you get to the higher up positions, you know, in, for job sharing, that's called top sharing. And for instance, like Netflix, there's co-CEOs, so right, they're job sharing. Yeah. But that makes a lot of sense because if you think about the amount of information that you need to know as a CEO, mm-hmm, I mean, it's mind-boggling.
Yeah.
Right? And so you may have certain parts of it. And so you may have the breadth of that knowledge, mm-hmm, but you wouldn't have the depth. And right, so by having two people that you would know and be able to accomplish a lot more.
Yeah. Well, it's interesting because the point you made about when you think about a part-time employee or the people who are applying for the part-time positions, well, that's because more often than not, those part-time positions are for the very lower end of the job, right? Mm-hmm. Like you said, you're a very well-educated person. You have a lot of job experience. You're not going to be, you know, applying for a job, answering phones, and then sending it along to the next person, right? That's not where you want to fall in the employment category.
Right. And also, you know, I did some bartending in college, right, and I thought maybe I'll do that.
Right.
But then also that takes away from other jobs, yes, that other people in the community could be having too.
Right.
You know, and especially if it's something that it's not really fair to the employer because I'm not really committed to that. I'm just doing it because,
right, yeah,
that's all I can find.
No doubt. Yeah, it is different. It's a different situation. And this is if you can change the way you think about these higher level positions, or even mid level, it doesn't have to be executive positions, like you say. There's all kinds of positions where we're stuck in a thing where it's like, if I'm employing somebody, they need to be here 40 hours a week. I need to get this out of them. But you really have a position that needs to accomplish a certain goal, and that's it. If it takes somebody 40 hours, that's fine. If it takes 20, who really cares? You're going to be paying them the same if they're on a salary.
Right.
And if they're super efficient and you're paying them half, they're on an hourly role, they're probably not staying around that long because they sound like an incredible person, a unicorn, kind of like what you're talking about. They're going to move on from your company pretty quickly. So if I can get...
Or you can retain them.
Right.
Right. So companies should be more proactive in developing their people.
Yes.
And then putting them through the pipeline for those higher level positions and creating mobility within their organization, right, to keep people.
Yeah.
Because a lot of times, you know, what we've heard through COVID is that people have been leaving their companies because they've been pigeonholed in certain positions. And so if they go to another company, then they're able to gain different experiences in, you know, a different department, where as like if they stayed in their previous company, they wouldn't have those opportunities.
Right.
And companies are missing out because now you are starting over. You know, you have all the costs of recruiting and training, and then you lose all of that institutional knowledge.
Right.
And, you know, it's also doesn't help with morale at all.
No. Yeah. People oftentimes are leaving jobs for reasons other than money. You know, it's usually something personal, culture related, things of that nature, or because of life happens.
Right.
And now we can't do things the way that we were before because I have kids at home now that I want to see grow up.
Yeah.
And so,
and you know, it's when we were first talking about this and why, you know, JobShare Connect started was because of the situation that I was in being a new mom. And so yes, it's great for parents, but also, you know, caretakers of aging parents. You have that sandwich generation who are taking care of their parents and children.
Right.
And then you also have, you know, it might be people new in their career who are going to school and or trying to get graduate degrees who need extra time to be able to do those things. You know, people who have different passions and maybe are an entrepreneur and have a side gig and want to pursue, you know, not only what they're doing in their everyday job, but, you know, maybe they have a passion and a dream that they want to follow, and being able to do a job share would provide them with that stability that they need to be able to bring in a steady paycheck, but then give them the flexibility to do other things. And then also for pre-retirees. So, you know, and that's a really big deal and a really big opportunity for companies, because you have all of these experienced people who have been with your company, who know your company, who probably built and grew your company, who are now wanting free time, and they deserve it.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, and they still have so much to offer, but they should be able to travel, and they should be able to, you know, play golf or be with their grandkids and do whatever makes them happy and things that they want to do. But also they have still so much to contribute and so much knowledge that they could be passing on and training and just continuing, you know, that institutional knowledge and knowledge transfer.
Yeah. I mean, the more we talk about this, I know the conversation starts and we think, okay, this is obviously because of your experience, what you went through, this is, women would be a great candidate for this, but I just keep on seeing more and more different types of people, different lifestyles that would be a great fit for the job sharing situation. Do you ever see where one person would commit, like they want to dedicate more time to it, they could work in maybe more than one job sharing position? Is that something that you see people do?
So that is actually one of the pivots that we made. So I won't get too into it because I can really geek out on this.
Right.
but really the potential of job sharing is, you know, two people filling one full-time position is just the tip of the iceberg.
Right.
That really is on the most basic level what job sharing can bring and contribute, you know, and at allowing people that flexibility. But there's also, like you said, if people wanted to do a different job share can really be used as a full talent management solution. And so what I mean by that is that if you look at the employee life cycle, starting from when they are, you know, when you're recruiting and interviewing and, you know, assessments, there's training. There's employee training, there's leadership training, and then you have performance management, succession planning, engagement and culture. And through all of those components, you can use job sharing. Again, I already talked about the knowledge transfer with like pre-retirees, but then also with new employees as they come in, you can use it for training. So if you had, say, one full-time employee who wanted to, you know, go and explore a different area in a company, then they could still, and some companies will have like rotational experiences that they provide their employees for development, but then it leaves a gap.
Okay. Right?
So someone will go into a different position and learn, but then oftentimes they're just flailing. Usually it's like 6 months to 9 months and you don't know what you're doing.
Yeah.
You feel like a fish out of water and you're not very productive.
Right.
Meanwhile, no one's doing the, or, you know, the team that you had before is taking over and trying to fill in those gaps.
Right.
And so by having one person, you know, do one job share in one area and, you know, another job share in another area, you can really maximize the training. So if you think about it as like a learner and a teacher, both. In that capacity. So in one situation where you've been doing the job for a long time, someone else can come up and you can be teaching them and training. And training is a massive problem.
Yeah.
You know, how are we training? How are companies training employees who are coming into companies? And how are you making sure that they're building and learning the skills that they need and not just in a classroom?
Right.
And, you know, adult learning theory, people don't learn. I mean, they do learn a little bit in the classroom, but, you know, the majority of learning happens on the job. It's experiential.
Yeah.
It's through actually doing the work and then also learning from others.
Yeah.
And so this really is another way of training and development that companies have not tapped into, that where job sharing can really be beneficial.
Yeah, I think... What is the scalability of all of this as a business owner? When is it the right time to begin thinking about making these kinds of moves? Because when I think about some of the situations you're describing, it seems like a larger workforce. Seems like you're going to have, if you have different departments, you've got a lot of employees, you're able to kind of maybe start doing that job sharing case. Is this something that you see small businesses able to, I would see it almost like, the small businesses can leverage it for growth, while the large businesses might be able to leverage it for retention and you know, knowledge share training, like you're saying. Do you think it goes both ways? What's the best fit?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because in a lot of companies, you often do see people doing more than one job.
Oh, yeah.
Right? They're doing everything. And especially in startups, you're doing everything.
Yep.
And so if, you know, and as a small company, if... You know, you have five people on your team, 5 or 10 people, and one person leaves, that, again, leaves a huge gap.
Right.
And so if you had if your employees or some of them were job sharing, then at least you would have half of an employee and things would still be, you would still be, you know, continue to work. It's things aren't going to. Balls aren't going to drop and, you know, things aren't going to fall apart because work is still being done.
Right. And in all of these job sharing situations, is it a mix between purely remote work and people who will still actually go into an office space part time, or is it almost all remote? How does that work out?
So job sharing and, you know, how it's done, there's so many ways that it can be done. It could be done in the office. It could be done remotely. It could be hybrid. And so it really just depends. You know, you could have someone in another country that's in a different time zone who could be doing work while you're sleeping.
Right.
Right. And so, you can think of it that way. Or also, you know, one of the problems that has come about with remote work is that people now, employees are feeling isolated because they're just at home looking at a computer. There might be meetings, but you don't have that human interaction that people really need.
Yeah.
And So with a job share too, it's kind of like a built-in best friend.
Right.
You know, there's lots of engagement surveys and, you know, Gallup is out here and they have, you know, there are 12 questions and one of them is, do you have a best friend at work? Mm. And through job share, you know, and part of what we do in Job Share Connect is being able to match job share partners who have similar or complementary skills, who are going to be able to work well together, mm. not just on paper, but in right. real life.
Yeah.
Because if you think about it, you know, work besides, you know, home life, work is where you're going to spend the majority of your time.
Yeah.
And so if you're going to be working with someone, you need to be able to communicate with them. You have to trust them. And so through the work that we've done, you know, we have a proprietary job share readiness survey and helping people to say, yes, like you would do well job sharing. Like, you know, it's something that you would probably enjoy doing or not. Some people can't get out of the mindset of this is my job. I do this. Right. You do that.
Yeah.
And also there's some fear of competition and those types of things that people need to get over. But,
yeah.
As far as, you know, the opportunity goes, it can really be done in so many different ways. And it really just depends on the job share team and how they want to work. And often, you know, as we've talked to HR and some companies, they have had concerns of, well, now, you know, there's so much coordination that we would have to do, but really the job share pair takes care of that.
Right.
Because, you know, it's their hours. They can figure out when they want to do it. And, you know, we're all adults and we can figure it out. And when you allow people that ownership and that accountability, then they do a better job.
Yeah. With your connection to the companies and the people you're placing, because I'm assuming, I think we ought to talk more about this as far as how you help companies do this, because it sounds like there's more than one way that you help companies try to achieve this. But you're trying to find a long-term fit for these jobs. This isn't a temp agency. Am I correct in assuming that, right?
Yes.
We're looking for a long-term fit. Are these employees going in and becoming actual W-2 employees of the company? Are they more often than not 1099'd at this point? How do the companies deal with it?
Again, there's a lot of ways. The way that we do it, people would be employees of the company.
Okay.
So it could be contract, but mostly, you know, we want them to be invested in the companies and to be able to grow with the companies. And so job sharing is a great flexibility solution, but it's not something that people would typically do for their entire career.
Right.
So as life circumstances change, then you can move in and out of a job share as needed. Mm. So if someone was in a job share because they had children and then their children graduate and now they're off in college and now you have, you know, a lot more time and now, you know, maybe you move into a full-time role or you can go and do another half share.
Right.
So it really just depends on the circumstance and applying and adapting that, and for companies to be proactive and knowing that there's going to be change and allowing people to be able to move through that within the company and to be able to retain them through all of those changes and not have them jump ship and go elsewhere.
And it does make sense that in that scenario, like you mentioned, the individual who wants to expand their role in the workplace, if they're able to still do what they have been doing while they're learning a new position, that's great. Or if you just move them into a new position already, at least half of that job's already being taken care of.
Right.
So at least, you know, something is getting done there while the next person is coming in, training and learning and whatnot.
Right.
So this can add a lot of flexibility. And then when someone does quit, because somebody will quit, that's just a part of being an employer, you're not losing a full position at that very moment.
Right.
You're losing half of one.
Right.
So you're a little bit ahead.
Yep. And then when someone comes back in, you have someone who's going to train them
Right.
And, you know, there's built-in training and there's built-in accountability and quality control.
Right.
You know, because it's not like you get lost in a big company and you say, you know, there's a huge team and they say, I wasn't supposed to do that.
Yeah.
You know, it's either you or me.
Yeah.
And so, right. You know, we're going to work together. And typically, you know, a lot of companies, in some of the research that's been done, they found that productivity in job shares goes up by about 30%.
I believe it because people are spending less time on it. You're not just glued to that computer screen for 40 hours, and maybe that's not the way you function.
Right.
I mean, you do better with 25, and you could be super efficient during those 25, and that's it.
Right.
You know, so like I said at the beginning, if the work's getting done, who cares how long it takes? We got to get away from that. As employers, that's the thing that's stuck, you know. Now, if you're doing manual labor, you're doing something, answering phones, whatever, I understand sales. Okay, there's some things you just have to spend a lot of time in. But if you are hiring ahead of HR and everything stays in order and HR is doing its job, do you really care if the person does it in half the time? You probably shouldn't. And if someone can do it in half the time, great.
Right.
Wonderful.
But right? Then typically what happens too is, you know, people want to be challenged. Mm. And so if that's really happening, then they'll probably look around and say, what else could I do? How else can I be adding and contributing value to the company?
Right.
And especially if you have employees who are really engaged, they're going to want to do that.
Yeah.
So, you know, again, that won't happen throughout your entire career because sometimes you just want to, you know, do enough so you can go home and take care of a baby or do whatever. But employers who are being proactive and looking for ways to accommodate their employees during those times are going to be the ones that are successful in the future.
Right. And I think that that shows how much you care in your workforce as well if you're able to be flexible at those times. Because so many instances of people leaving, being upset, you know, with their job comes from problems like these. If you can keep everybody happy, you might be surprised at how less you have to give on the other end to keep them there. I mean, I saw in 2022, most people who changed jobs received a 14% raise. So you got to think 14% raise year over every year. It's probably not very realistic as a company. Mm-hmm. So who are the people who did stay? The people who feel taken care of,
right?
Because so many opportunities. I mean, I have so many clients who took jobs in California companies this past couple of years because they're getting paid a California salary living in Omaha, to a point you made earlier. And it was a very easy switch for them. So they just left this local business here, hopped ship, you know, jumped to this one in California.
Yep.
And there you go. They are able to do everything they want, work remotely. You're providing opportunities to a whole section of the workforce that's not tapped into yet. You know, like you've mentioned before. So where do you see, once you do this, you start doing job sharing, you bring these people in, they are employees of your company. You know, you're going to, hopefully they assimilate to your culture. Hopefully they're good fits for everything. How do you see it working long term with their interaction, their relationship with the company versus those other employees? Do you think that employers treat them differently because they only work that partial time? Do you see their being instances where you could see kind of them not being treated as well by maybe some levels in management from this? Are there any instances like that that you've noticed?
So one of the things that as we've worked with companies, and so if we come in and say, now we're going to offer, you know, new employees the opportunity to job share, then what we found is that employees who have been with the company often feel slighted because they didn't have that opportunity.
Right.
So that's one instance of, you know, making it fair and creating those opportunities, offering them to existing employees as well as future. And then also, you know, a lot of it, there's a big stigma around part-time too.
Right.
Right. So people who are part-time are typically seen as those who aren't as motivated or committed to the job or the company. And that's this mindset shift that we need to go around and that needs to be changed. And it's a big one. It's a paradigm shift. of knowing that people can work differently. It doesn't mean that they're not working or that they don't care and they're not motivated.
Right.
They just want to work differently. And, you know, a lot of times people are afraid to ask their employers for job share opportunities. You know, job share is actually not new. It started in the 70s, actually started in the U.S., which is ironic because it hasn't really taken off in the U.S. as it has in other countries. But people are... Sorry, I just lost my train of thought.
No, you're fine. No.
Can you edit part of this out?
Yeah, oh, absolutely. We'll edit this out. No worries.
Sorry.
Yeah, you're fine.
Can you remind me?
No, yeah, so we're talking about, obviously, with how people are treated within companies who might be seen as part-time.
Yeah, so a lot of times people are afraid to go to their employers and say, hey, you know, can I do a job share? Can I work differently? Because then they feel like now they might be marked as, oh, you know, a red flag of they're not as committed. And so we better watch them. And when a promotion comes up, you know, we might not tap them on the shoulder or ask them to apply because they want to work part time or they want a job share.
Right.
And then you also have, you know, job share only works if the manager gets it and supports it, and really all the way up the chain.
Right.
So we've seen people who have job shared in companies successfully under one manager, and then that manager leaves and someone else comes in who doesn't support it, and then, you know, it doesn't work or they don't allow them to do that.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, it really needs to be something that is adopted and, you know, where there's buy-in within the whole company and that employees know that, you know, I may not have a job share right now. I may be new in my career, but when the time comes and I do need more flexibility, this will be here.
Right.
You know, and we've talked to people who have been in college and they said, oh, yeah, like people are looking for those when they're looking at employers. You know, like you said, it's not just about money.
Right.
People really are looking at what else the company can offer besides besides pay. Obviously, that's important, but there's so many other factors that come into play of having a job and keeping a job and staying with the company.
Yeah, and being able to have them as a W-2 employee, perhaps that gives them access to your benefits and whatnot, depending how you have that all, you know, framed. That's a big reason why people can't leave jobs. They're stuck in a job because insurance is so expensive. Yep. They can't afford to leave anywhere. Maybe a job share could be a solution for those people. Making them happy, take care of your employees. A better, happier workforce is hopefully a more productive workforce. And even if the number of employees is larger, the salary cost is not.
Right.
That's a big point of this, right?
Right.
You're not paying two salaries, you're splitting it in half. The other costs that might come into it, of course, you can't avoid that, and having an employee and whatnot, just making them W-2 employee, you're going to have to pay a little bit more each and for every employee for other things, but it's not going to be nearly as expensive as trying to replace that one person, to your point, from everything that you're going to lose in productivity and training and whatnot on the way.
Yep.
So
absolutely. It really is little to no additional cost, because if you think about a job share, everything gets put into one bucket.
Right.
And so it's not like now you have two buckets and you're, you know, have more that you need to hand out.
Right.
In some cases, you know, companies will offer benefits to both employees. Mm-hmm. In other cases, you know, if we talk about some of the ethical implications, some companies that, you know, JobShare Connect really would not want to work with are companies that are looking for loopholes to try not to pay for benefits or to provide benefits for companies. You know, but on the other hand, it can also be a win-win, because if two job share partners have a partner or a spouse who does have benefits and they don't need it, then, you know, the company doesn't have to pay for it.
Right.
And so in that case, it does work out. But
yeah,
in the U.S. especially, benefits has been really kind of a sticking point of it being more difficult to do in other countries, obviously, mm-hmm. because a lot of other countries offer free
right.
health care.
Yeah.
So we're behind in a lot of ways. But we never want that to be a reason why job sharing is not offered, because there are ways to get around it. And if you think about everything in one bucket, then if one of the job share partners needs benefits and the other one doesn't, then, you know, you can prorate some of the salary or some of the other benefits that go along with that too.
Yeah, you can get creative with it
yeah.
to make it work for everybody. Yeah. And as an employer, it's also important to always remember, okay, what is the value of this position to our company? And so you're like, all right, if I do have to pay, take on a little bit of extra cost in order to split this job into two, mm-hmm. but it makes that position more productive, then I should be getting a great return
absolutely.
On that investment.
Yeah.
I mean, just to be able to, especially for existing employees, I see this as something where, and just so people know a little more what they can contact you for, not only to find a person to fill a position with, but am I correct in assuming you'll actually come in and help consult starting this process? If a company wants to begin the job share process, you can come in and kind of take a look at their company and maybe give them some ideas on where to start.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, ideally we have both, right? It's kind of a chicken or the egg thing, because we need companies to say that they're open to this and want to do it, and then to have the employees there to be able to fill those positions quickly. Mm-hmm. What we have found is that we have a lot more people who are interested in job shares than companies who are willing to create a program or offer job sharing. And so if companies are interested in learning about how job share could work in their company, and they might think, oh, it can work for that position or that industry, but not this position or our industry.
Right.
Job sharing really works across all industries and all positions. And although job sharing, you know, does work, people, I think, will typically think of like an admin position, but really job sharing, you know, like we've discussed, becomes really beneficial in those higher level positions where you have professionals. It might be positions that are difficult to fill, mm-hmm. Or critical roles where you don't want to have those gaps.
Yeah.
But being able to have that available makes a huge difference. And what we found too is that with companies that maybe can't compete with companies in California who are offering, you know, huge pay increases, what we found is that some companies, if we really talk about how they offer that flexibility, how they care about their employees, oftentimes people are willing to be paid less because they are able to have the flexibility.
Right.
Whereas a lot of other companies don't offer that. And then what we found through that is that those employees are extremely loyal to those companies for their entire career.
Yeah, absolutely. They feel taken care of. They feel valued. And those are what's really important to people. Maybe they feel like they're making a difference, you know, in the company, obviously, mm-hmm. still being able to participate. Their identity, like you brought up before, can seem more fulfilled to mm-hmm. themselves, obviously, because they have that piece and yep. it's not missing. I like it all.
One of the things that we found in some of our initial research is that about 35% of people said that they would leave their current positions to go to a company that offered job share.
Wow. That's incredible. Mm-hmm. Did that data go down as far into like gender, age, anything mm-hmm. like that as well? Mm-hmm. Was there a lot of difference in those groups, or did you find it was almost universal?
Well, what we found, and I think that's pretty consistent in the research, is that I think we had like 86% women who were interested, mm-hmm. and obviously for caretaking reasons, yeah. but we also had a lot of men too.
Yeah.
You know, who had different interests, and especially those who were pre-retirees.
Yeah. I see that as being a huge deal. Mm-hmm. Because a lot of times that person might not be what you say an executive, but they're also not the admin positions you're talking right. about. What about the coordinator? If you're a company, you're doing my mother-in-law works for Steelcase. They're a huge manufacturer of office furniture, and she's been doing it for like 30 years. She's been in a position with them. She's the best person in the office. Mm-hmm. They don't offer any remote positions, but hers is remote because she said, I'll leave if not. Because
they don't want to lose her.
Can't lose her. So how are you going to keep her on for a couple more years? You're going to eventually have to start making these changes, these concessions, right. if you want to keep that person. Because guess what? They can leave now.
Right.
They don't have to stay anymore. You've been with you for a long time. They've made their money. They're ready to go spend time with grandkids. How are you going to keep those people on board?
Yeah.
And they deserve to be on board. There's a lot of discrimination, obviously, in this country for many, many reasons, but age is one of them.
Yeah.
And so it'd be really hard if you're a person who wants to take a little more time to spend with your family, but what are your options to do that without taking just an incredibly lower job that you're not really interested in, probably requires more of your time than you're willing to commit to it.
Right.
You know, so you have a solution for that.
Right.
And the ethical side of things is obviously it makes a lot of sense to me.
Yeah. And just a couple comments with your mom. I mean, that would be a perfect opportunity for job share because then she could transfer all of that knowledge, get someone ready to take that position and be able to have that training so that when she does, she will eventually leave.
Yeah, right.
Then they'll have someone and know that it's taken care of.
Yeah. That's great. No, I can't agree with you more. And I think that while maybe most of our discussion wasn't necessarily about the ethical implications of it all, I think that it's woven into this and how you treat your employees is an incredibly important ethical standard companies should adhere to.
I will say that with job share too, because it taps into these untapped talent pools of people who can't work, you know, a traditional 8-to-5 schedule, you're really, for DE and I, you know, you're really addressing some of those issues and allowing people who traditionally haven't been able to work in these positions or have opportunities for growth and development to be able to have those. And so, you know, we talk about pre-retirees and transferring that, but you can also use this as kind of, you know, testing the waters.
Right.
If someone can come in and they can just test something out without fully committing to this other position and knowing that the position that they're in, that they were in before is still being taken care of, you know, you can really bring in and diversify your workforce, not only through age and gender, but also through ethnicity and attracting a lot of underrepresented people as well.
Yeah, and I loved that in your website, reading through it all, DEI was definitely there, but it's there because I could tell the way it's written into it. It's because it's what you do. You're not just putting it out there because that's what you need to do as a company these days to be respected. Yeah, I almost feel like sometimes, like there's a few investment companies that I won't name them, but I call in and it's like, and we are this most ethical company, or we are. So we worry so much about DEI. When I'm like, I know, I see your employees, and it's not true. You might have gotten an award for it or something, but you're just doing this because some person said, we need to make sure that everybody knows this about us versus somebody who's actually solving that problem. And it just makes sense that way. It's a natural thing that what you all are doing is solving those types of issues that companies could be having because of the workforce that you're bringing onto the table.
Yeah.
You're bringing into the fold, which is wonderful.
Yep.
So, well, Gina, thank you so much. I really love learning about job sharing. If people want to get in touch with you and actually find out more about how you can help them optimize their workforce, I mean, this is an optimization of a workforce, truly in a sense, and change. It's new, it's different, but what should they do to get in touch with you?
Well, obviously you can contact me directly at gina.wong@JobShareConnect, or you can go to our website, www.jobshareconnect.com. And I'd love to hear from you and love to answer any questions that you have to help either you or your company implement JobShare.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, Gina. I appreciate the conversation and I can't wait to come back and have this conversation maybe a few years from now and hear how much it has changed, because it seems like it's something that's necessary and just needs to have some more buy-in.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, it really is just, you know, that mindset, that paradigm shift in leaders and progressive thinkers to really say, we want to do something different, and then doing it and not just having it be lip service, but actually being proactive and taking the steps necessary to make it happen.
That's right. All you leaders out there, take action. All right. Thanks so much, Gina. I appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Welcome to the Business Ethics Podcast. I am Blake Peterson, and joining me today is a good friend of Anne-Marie with the Business Ethics Alliance and co-founder of JobShare Network here, JobShare Connect here in Omaha. I apologize. We have Gina Wang. Thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate it.
Sure. Thank you for having me.
Share Connect here in Nebraska. That's where it was founded. Mm-hmm. And what year did you start that?
JobShare Connect was founded in February of 2019.
Great.
So pre-COVID.
Pre-COVID. I bet that was fun, huh? Being a Job Connect company in the middle of like the worst job situation we've ever seen.
Yeah. But I mean, we thought it was really exciting because I think we are right now ahead of our time. In 2019, we were way ahead of our time, especially pre-COVID, because obviously that's changed how we work a lot because of being able to work remotely and hybrid. And so we were actually really excited and thought that it would really accelerate the progress for different ways of working.
Right.
Which it did, not necessarily for job sharing, but for flexible work, remote and hybrid.
No doubt. Okay, I love it. It's perfect. So I have that. Obviously, I'm just give you a little bit of a shout out as we get rolling, just to kind of say your global job sharing and future of work thought leaders, your consultants, advisor, and a speaker. I kind of just went to your website and thought about maybe even reading the bio you have on there. Would that sound good to you?
Sure.
You happy with that?
Yeah.
Okay. I thought it was pretty well written. I was like, I'm just copying this whole thing. But Richard, I'm assuming we're recording anytime, I'm good to start. All right, cool. Let's see. Make sure that. Yeah, but I thought, you know, I'd love to kind of give people an idea of obviously what, you know, the thoughts of job sharing is. I think that it's an interesting time in the economy with what's kind of happening and where you all are positioned and how you can help companies. You know, if we're going to be pushed into a recessionary space in which companies need to make hard choices on getting rid of employees, is this a route for them to start to take, you know, to stay afloat and continue to grow?
Yeah, can I move your purses over here?
Oh, yeah. Sorry about that.
No problem.
Should I do the water?
And then you can put water either on the table or on the other side.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you, Richard. I appreciate my water bottle, too. I'll just try not to forget it this time, huh? This is my more beat-up one. Perfect. Cool. Good deal. Is there anything in particular that you want me to make sure to bring up or you want to avoid for any reason?
I can talk around anything, but
right. One
of the things is that job sharing hasn't really become adopted and we haven't had the traction like we thought that we would, that we needed to really continue on like full steam ahead.
Right.
And so JobShare Connect I'm still doing JobShare Connect. We still have our platform up, mm-hmm. and I'm doing a lot of consulting, but it's my co-founder has left.
Okay.
And so he's working with Nelnet. In like an entrepreneur position.
Right.
That's the only thing, but I think there's, based on some of the things that have been happening and some things that still need to change, I mean, it's telling.
Yeah.
So.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, we'll make sure to kind of, you're still obviously doing it and you're still looking to grow, right? Obviously. So hopefully this will reach out to some people that need to hear it and maybe they'll give you a call.
Yeah.
Because heck yeah, that sounds great. And startups are super tough. So. I hear that, especially with you started it at like the worst possible time too, which is super tough with COVID and everything happening.
Right.
I've got a lot of clients who started businesses in 2020 or just in 2019 and they all have kind of similar stories. So
yeah,
I hear that.
It was difficult.
Yeah.
And then I also had twins who were two.
No
at
doubt.
The time when we started and then was also going through a divorce.
Oh my gosh. If there's not enough things, huh? Well, let's get into it all.
Okay.
I love it. It's great. So All right, Richard, we're going to rock and roll here, man. Let's see what we got.